You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF. I'm Scott Lamar.
Now Roethlisberger's going to air it out. And it's caught in stride. Deontay Johnson, a 50-yard touchdown strike.
Last October, while the Pittsburgh Steelers were playing the Denver Broncos in an NFL game, a fan spread the cremated ashes of a loved one into the south end zone of Heinz Field. Some other fans complained, including at least one who said the ashes blew onto his food. In a statement, the Steelers said it was private property and cremated remains are prohibited. However, it did start a conversation about where remains can be spread. The bigger conversation was about our wishes after death, specifically about what to do with our remains. On today's Smart Talk, we ask and answer your funeral-related questions. Joining us, Kathleen Ryan, who is Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Funeral Directors Association, Angela Eulen, Funeral Supervisor, owner of Hooper Memorial Home in Harrisburg, and Bruce Parthamore, Pre-Planning Consultant with Parthamore Funeral Home in New Cumberland. And Bruce Parthamore is the President-Elect of the Pennsylvania Funeral Directors Association. Kathleen Ryan, let me start with you. Why couldn't that fan spread the ashes or remains in the end zone?
Because it is private property. And unfortunately, there are people who do those kinds of things. That was not a unique experience. I've heard that story before, particularly in sports fields, because people are, you know, great sports fans and they do crazy things like that. But unfortunately, there's no law in Pennsylvania that talks about where one can spread cremated remains. So people take advantage in some instances and do things that they shouldn't do, like on private property.
So that guy, even though it was private property, when you're saying there are no rules, there are no laws, he wasn't breaking the law unless the Steelers saw it as trespassing.
That's correct.
Isn't that something maybe we should look at?
Well, it's a possibility. It's certainly something that maybe ought to be addressed because cremation, as you know, is rising, not only in Pennsylvania, but nationwide. It is hovering just above the 50% mark now in Pennsylvania and expected to go to 60 and 70% by 2040. So it's not an issue that is going away.
50%. I mean, and rising. I'll bet that surprises a lot of people. Why is that? Why do you think cremation is rising, the people who choose cremation?
I think it's a combination of things. One is it's more convenient because with our families that are spread around the country and kids in school, you know, when grandma passes away, it may be 2 weeks or until the holiday when they can get everybody together for a service. And if one is cremated, that's easy to do. You can have the cremated remains put in an urn and wait for the service. It increased specifically during COVID for that very reason, because families weren't able to gather. And I know Angie and Bruce can speak more to that as to whether people are still waiting to do services because they certainly arranged for them during COVID when everything was locked down. Mm. So
I know one more question, Kathy, before we do move on to our other panelists. I noticed you didn't mention cost. Are there people who choose cremation, more people choosing cremation because it costs less?
I think that's a factor. And specifically, I think it knocks, in many cases, thousands of dollars off the overall bill because you're not incurring the necessary expenses at the cemetery, which those costs rise every year as well. So again, Bruce and Angie can speak more specifically about that, but yes, cost is a factor. Mm.
Bruce Parthamore, I saw your face on Zoom when that Steelers play-by-play was playing, and you kind of looked like, what's this? Am I on the right program? That may have been a quirky way to start the program, but it did bring up a point. Most people don't know a lot about funerals or cremations, what to do with remains after death. What don't they know?
Scott, thank you for having us this morning. That's a question that's asked frequently during prearrangements, is constantly asked, is it legal to have my loved one's ashes scattered in the river or scattered at Disney World or scattered at different places? The private property question Kathy answered very clearly. When it comes to different places, like in state forests or state parks, things like that, it becomes somewhat more gray. It depends on the government's rules and also the ancillary things that would surround it. And again, the legalities of it. I'm sure it happens very frequently. As a licensed funeral director and my license being at stake, I can't participate in it. However, and I certainly can't advise someone on it. However, again, I need to go back and say I'm sure it happens pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm. So, Angela Yulin, what are the big questions or what don't people know about planning for their demise?
Hey, Scott, thanks for having all of us. One of the things that we don't often do is prearrange. A lot of times those who come in and visit with us ahead of schedule, ahead of that passing, can find out the do's and the do nots, the possibilities, and what can transpire during your choices. And it is true, cremation is going up, but a lot of people don't know that you can have a full funeral service prior to that cremation. They're like, oh, I didn't realize that that was an option.
By the way, Bruce, real quick, do you in the industry call them ashes or remains when you're talking about cremation?
Scott, quite frankly, I tend to switch back and forth depending on who I'm speaking with and tend to change back and forth. Sometimes it's cremated remains, sometimes it's ashes. It depends who I'm speaking with.
All right, so I'm not going to be saying anything wrong if I say ashes or I go back to remains. So I just wanted to make sure that that's the case. So,
Angela, absolutely
not. Okay, good. Angela, the broad options, and when I say broad, I mean broad. A funeral, as you said, we could do with either cremation, we could do with interment. But other than interment and cremation, are there other options?
There are other options, but here in Pennsylvania, it's either cremation, burial, or green burial. Those are the options that we have in Pennsylvania. A lot of people don't know about green burial. You don't utilize a metal casket in green burial. You don't necessarily do embalming, although there is green embalming. And you go directly into the ground as opposed to a vault or a traditional cemetery setting. So if you look at the scope of things, you can go from direct cremation, cremation and memorial. You can do funeral and cremation. You can do a full funeral service and burial and or green burial. So you have a lot of options. And as Bruce is a insurance provider, as well as myself, you can sit down and make these options available to you and to your family prior to the day of passing. So many times folks will wait until the passing occurs and call you up and say, what am I supposed to do? And so we try to give them their options and the availability of their options. During COVID, things got really, really crazy for many of the funeral providers and the industry, where you could not bury for 2-3 weeks, or you could not schedule a funeral for 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe only the immediate family could come in and see their loved one as opposed to a full funeral. But with COVID, it has opened a lot of technology options for us, like live streaming funerals or Zooming funerals or getting families together to do a funeral meeting with technology. Things are changing. I'm not sure that they're going away, but I do know that COVID numbers are going back up.
You know, you just mentioned green burials, and we received two questions from listeners right off the bat, emails about green burials. Talk a little bit more about that, because, you know, I'm just thinking about my own experiences and what the funeral director asked about what type of casket, what kind of liner, you know, what if there would be a vault, that kind of thing. So talk a little bit more about the green burial, if you would, Angie.
So green burials, you must utilize a biodegradable option. So instead of a metal casket, you may use a cloth wrapping. You may use a rattan casket or a wicker casket. You just cannot utilize anything metal. You can do a wood casket with no metal. As opposed to metal, they may use a peg system. But those options are available to many of us, but the green burial cemeteries are limited in Pennsylvania. Fortunately, we have one right here in Harrisburg.
So the idea behind it, is this someone who's being environmentally conscious or just what?
Correct. Environmentally conscious of going back to the ground and not harming our earth, our world.
So literally dust to dust.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Hank in York on the phone. Hank, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, you're welcome.
I thank Angie for exploring the green burial option. But I wanted to note, and I've personally chosen another option. I have contracted with a company that on my death will take my body at no charge to my family. And there's no delicate way to put it, part me out for medical research and science and that sort of thing. And at the end of the process, return my created remains to my family at no charge. There are other alternatives. I just wanted that reflected.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for your call. Kathy, what about that? I mean, we're hearing more about that today, too, that there are those who want to donate their bodies to science.
Right. That is absolutely an option. And it's not just for science in terms of the organs or the specific parts of the body, but you can also donate it to live donors. There are two organ procurement organizations here in Pennsylvania, one in the East and one in the West. So if you do designate on your driver's license that you want to be a donor, you can certainly do that, or as the gentleman who called in indicated, you can donate your entire body that could end up at a medical school teaching prospective doctors or to the military to do research. I mean, there's a lot of places that human remains can be used for the benefit of the rest of us.
Do those medical schools or the military, as you mentioned, do they advertise for what you need? I mean, for example, if I advertise myself as a slightly overweight aging man, would someone jump on that?
I don't know that they do that. I think there's much more of a demand for human remains than there are people who are willing to do it. That's why in some cases medical schools have gone to artificial or dummies instead, but there's still a need for humans to donate, and both for science and research as well as for helping live people that need new organs.
All right. Maybe I didn't advertise accurately when I said slightly overweight. All right. So Bruce Pothmore, you are a pre-planning consultant. All of you have done this as far as pre-planning, but I'll ask you, walk us through the process of planning a funeral. If you could do that in a minute or so.
Oh, certainly. The first part, Scott, would be to ask for questions and find out what the person wants to accomplish in our meeting as far as questions that they might have. And then once those questions are answered and satisfied, then we talk about what we can do during that meeting. We can gather information that's needed at the time of their passing. and information that's needed to file with the Commonwealth as far as things like birthplace and their social security number and their parents' names and vital statistical information. Equally important, their wishes as far as cremation or traditional casket and burial services. And then depending on those choices, they can certainly select their own urn, select caskets. Should it be at the funeral home? Should it be at the church? Possibly there aren't going to be any services. All those different things that can be done ahead of time so that the rest of their family doesn't have to make those choices upon their passing. That tends to be primarily one of the most important parts, so that, again, they leave nobody guessing or stressed out about what did mom or dad want. The second part of that is if they choose to finance it and or fund it, actually is a better word. The monies go into an account and that account stays under that person's name. In Pennsylvania, when you pre-finance or pre-fund with a funeral home, all of the money is required to stay in that person's name, the person who's pre-arranging their funeral from the first penny. And it can be transferable to another funeral home if that person chooses. In the event that they move out of town, or if that particular funeral home that they pre-arranged with would close their doors, or whatever their circumstances would be that they'd need to change funeral homes. One of the advantages of pre-funding certainly is that most funeral homes will go ahead and guarantee the things that come from the funeral home, such as with a traditional funeral service, the casket, the services, things like that. One of the biggest advantages as well is that money can be protected in the event that the person's required to do a spend down to qualify for Medicaid. The funds that are in that account, again, are considered a non-asset when it comes time to do that spend down. So all those things can be accomplished simply within a 2-hour period, sometimes less. And so there are a lot of advantages to that. And a lot of times that's required before somebody would go into skilled nursing or go into a nursing home setting. And it's just like making a will or setting things up as you go through those housekeeping things, it's a good idea to take care of those. Mm-hmm.
Angela, let me just follow up on that, something that Bruce said. And many people, when they don't pre-plan, they don't make their wishes known. You have family members who are grieving, and especially if a death is unexpected, at maybe the worst time, the most vulnerable time for the family members, having to make these kind of decisions. What gets missed, or what's different about the whole thing when a family has to plan or that hasn't planned?
You're right. It is the most difficult time for them, especially when it's an untimely death of a child, of a spouse, going to work, a terrible car accident. Those things are most difficult for the family. But what you want to do is get the key people in the family to come in or to Zoom, of course, funeral preparation, and take the time to not only be empathetic to the family, but to guide them. They're looking towards you as a funeral provider to assist and help them step by step in making those arrangements. Bruce was talking about pre-arrangements, but when the actual death occurs, it's a systematic, yes, but this is something that you're going to do with your family. It is a celebration, and you want to be meticulous and providing your families with all that they need, whether it's a PowerPoint slideshow during the service, whether they're going to select a musician to sing grandmom's favorite hymn, whether you're going to decorate that area of that urn with flowers and mementos and pictures of those grandchildren, you want to make sure that you touch on everything that was special and concerning to that individual so that it's a most memorable celebration of life. During COVID, we did not have the opportunity to do a lot of those things, but now we're getting back into doing some type of traditional service for families and loved ones.
Let's take a phone call from Brett, who is driving on Route 30 near Effin, I understand. Brett, you're on the air.
Good morning. Very interesting show. That one caller about his father donating the body, my father did the same thing to the medical school my mother went to. And 3 years later, Mom was surprised at UPS delivering his ashes back to us. But we've had a couple deaths in the family on the younger generations since, and there's a special area on land that we used to own. That's all I'm going to say is that, and the ashes are there now, and it's basically the hillbilly method of shoot, shovel, and shut up. That,
Hey, Brett, thank you very much for your call. I actually had never heard that terminology, but we have to make sure it's all legal. Hey, thank you very much for your call. But we did have a similar question here, Kathy, about cremation. We're getting a lot of questions about cremation. Someone wanted to know if it would be legal to spread their ashes in the Susquehanna River or the Chesapeake Bay.
Well, you know, there again, those are public waterways, and the answer is the environmentalists would probably not be pleased about that at all. But I'm not familiar enough with the environmental laws to answer that question. So much of the spreading of ashes in places like that, it's like what Bruce said, people do it, they do it quietly, they don't make a big deal out of it, and no one ever knows the difference. Is it technically legal? I think probably not. Because, you know, imagine if that just started to be a regular practice, that would certainly affect the quality of the water over time. I think Angie's point about the whole green burial thing, people that have strong opinions about our environment, it's just not something we should be doing. But if I might, I want to pick up on something both Bruce and Angie brought up in terms of prearranging. One of my jobs here at PFDA is to answer funeral directors' questions. And the most frequent question that comes in multiple times a day, every week, week after week, is families that are fighting over right to disposition. And one of the advantages, at least as far as I'm concerned, for my funeral directors, is if an individual prearranges, their wishes are basically written in stone, no pun intended there. And by law, there is a statute in Pennsylvania which says if grandma said she wanted to be cremated and buried at the XYZ cemetery, then that's what's going to be done. Unfortunately, with split families, people living together, estrangements, so many scenarios go on with second spouses and children from former marriages. Many times funeral directors get caught in that back and forth as to what dad or mom may have wanted. Pre-planning eliminates that issue. And it keeps my funeral directors a lot happier. So it's something to give consideration to, because the last thing you want to do, as it was indicated earlier, death is a terrible trauma to the people that are left. And fighting over what's to be done at that time it complicates the matter even worse.
Bruce, have you had that experience where you have families fighting over, as Kathy used the term, disposition?
Every day, every week. Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm sorry, Scott, could you repeat that?
Yeah, I said, have you ever had in your experience where you had families fighting over these things? Now, you're involved in pre-planning, but I mean, maybe after someone has passed away and family members can't agree.
Yes. Yes, unfortunately, numerous times over the 35 years as a funeral director.
How do you try to handle that?
Very diplomatically. Very diplomatically. And it's fortunately, most of the times it does work out. But pre-arrangements have helped incredibly. There's a gray area, and Kathy could answer this much more easily than I can legally, but most times when there are pre-arrangements in place, both the factions will usually yield to the pre-arrangements. There's a way to set the pre-arrangements up that they are legally binding, especially when it comes to cremation. It's a very simple document that makes that legally binding, that protects the funeral director, and it also protects the family that's trying to honor the decedent's wishes.
Hey, Kathy, in fact, we have a question right along those lines. Bruce may have just answered it, but Lisa wants to know, is there any way to guarantee that your funeral plans are honored? Someone I know had his funeral all planned down to hymns to be sung and the pallbearers, but after his death, his children decided they didn't want a service at all, so none was held.
Yeah, that happens from time to time. And the answer is yes, you can certainly do that. There are legal documents that are set forth in a statute as to how to ensure that that happens. And unfortunately, I would say that without knowing the specific facts of that case, the deceased wishes should have been followed.
Let's take a phone call from Cynthia in Lancaster. Cynthia, you're on Smart Talk.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. I'm also in my car. My question is concerning green burials, which is new to me after listening to this program. And I was wondering, by any chance, is it legal to have a green burial on private property?
Angie, let me direct that to you since you've handled most of our green burial questions.
Well, the green burials in green cemeteries are quite legal. But going back to what Kathy had indicated, when it comes to private property, you have to consider your zoning, your township, your county, and find out what their rules and regulations allow. So before you decide that that's your choice, please find out from your local agencies what is allowed.
So if someone has, and I would assume that most of the time this is a larger property, but if someone has, say, a few acres, maybe they're in a rural area, maybe they're not, but if someone wants to be buried in their backyard, they just can't up and do it.
I would first check with your local township rules and regulations. Because if it's not legal in your township, even if you own 10, 15 acres, and you bury that person without it being legal, you're going to be in big trouble. So just please, please, please make sure that you follow suit and find out what you can and cannot do in your area or at your home property or family property.
Kathy Ryan, here's a big question for many people. What does a funeral cost today?
Well, if you're talking about a traditional funeral with a burial at a cemetery, it's probably, let me talk about it. Before the cemetery costs, it's going to be in a range from $7,500 to $9,000. Then you're adding on the cemetery costs, which could be another several thousand dollars, depending on whether you already own the grave space or not. But the grave opening and the merchandise that's required to meet cemetery regs tax on a lot of money, a lot more money.
So what goes into that from $7,500 to $9,000 plus the cemetery cost? What is someone paying for?
Well, yeah, everything from removing the remains from the place of death to embalming, to dressing and casketing and cosmetics and the use of the funeral home property for a viewing, the use of their staff, if the body's going to church, the use of the vehicles, the overhead of the funeral home, and there are many fixed expenses in funeral homes that right off the bat, there's what's called the service charge, which is attendant to all traditional funerals. And that encompasses many of the fixed expenses of the funeral home. So it's called the basic service fee. Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about a cremation? What does a cremation cost?
Well, that's different because they're not so much around Harrisburg, but once you get into the big metropolitan areas like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, there are extremely low-cost providers that may do it for less than $1,000. But the traditional funeral home definitely would be more than that. And probably, again, the range might be from, I don't know, $2,000 to $5,000, depending upon what else is going on other than just a simple cremation.
Michael asked a question. How long can the body of the deceased be held for viewing by family members without embalming being required prior to the ultimate cremation of the body? Angela, what about that?
Well, the person can be held under refrigeration, and you can do that for a period of time. But after 10 days, the funeral director must get permission from the state board to hold your family's remains.
And okay, along those lines, and I have to say, Kathy Ryan, that this was one of the stories that kind of prompted me to want to do this show and answer questions. And that is, I saw a story about unclaimed bodies in Dauphin County. It just so happened I saw a story in the Philadelphia Inquirer then about it happening in Philadelphia. In Pennsylvania, what happens? What does the law say about a body that is unclaimed?
Well, it depends on where that body ends up. So typically, if it is in a public space or not even, it would land in the hands of the local coroner or medical examiner. And those folks have the right legally to dispose of those bodies either by burial or cremation at the cost of the county. Now, it's a different situation if... And this happens often in Pennsylvania where, a 101-year-old individual at a nursing home dies and there's nothing in the record that indicates what's to be done. And so the nursing home, of course, doesn't have accommodations for a body once it's passed away. So they call up their local funeral director and say, hey, please come get Mrs. Jones because she passed away. The funeral director does that only to find out that there isn't anyone to do anything. Now, unfortunately, what happens then is the natural inclination would be to cremate the body and be done with it. But you can't do that because legally there's no one to give that authorization for cremation. So now all of a sudden, the body has to be directly buried at someone's expense. Unfortunately, sometimes that falls on the hands and responsibility of the local funeral director. So I go back to what I said earlier. It behooves people to make some sort of an arrangement, whether it's paid for or not, just to indicate what their wishes are.
Philadelphia, by the way, pays for the city, actually pays for unclaimed bodies to be buried. And they are buried in a... I guess what would be referred to as a potter's field in the city of Philadelphia. Now they do have arrangements with the cemeteries that the cemeteries are compensated. And I also understand that the Department of Human Services here in Pennsylvania has some help for people who don't have a lot of money. Let's take some phone calls now. Barbara is in Quarryville. Barbara, you're on Smart Talk.
Hi. We had a little different arrangement, and I just thought it would be interesting to people. My parents have been dead for 21 years, and they are cremated, and they're waiting for me at Reynolds Shivery Funeral Home. And when I get there, we will be buried on the ground if possible. If not, then we'll use an urn. And what we want to do is mix the hug, the ashes, because we so often had group hugs. It was a small family. And this seemed to us one of the ways that we could think of saying goodbye and not make it that awful.
Hey, Barbara, thank you very much for your call. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who probably, if they're hearing that for the first time, maybe it puts a thought in their heads. But it goes to wishes for the family. Angie, I have a feeling that's not unusual, is it?
Those type of requests are not unusual. As a matter of fact, my grandmother and my two uncles were all cremated, and my grandmother outlived all of her children. And so when she finally passed, we buried all of their remains in a plot at a local cemetery. And now they're together, and they hope are happy and knowing that we kept the family close together. But Scott, I want to go back, if I can, just briefly on body donations. The gentleman had talked about that, how it was inexpensive. It barely didn't cost anything to the family. But let families know that you must pre-qualify for those body donations. There's an application process, and you have to be accepted. And it's not something that can be done after the person has expired. It's usually something that has to be done ahead of time and follow all the necessary applications in order to make that happen for someone in your family.
Let's take a phone call from Matthew in Fayetteville. Matthew, you're on Smart Talk.
I think you mean Robert.
Okay. Well, it says Matthew here for me, but I'll go with Robert.
This is great. You did a wonderful program recently on composting ones for disposing of our bodies, and it sounded so positive to me, not fire and brimstone and not artificial embalming and chemicals. And I'm wondering what the status is of composting our bodies so that I can become a returning snowdrop if I wish. And have had a wonderful life, and am now thinking as I garden, what a great idea that is. And where does that stand in Pennsylvania and all the regulations that you've been talking about?
Robert, thank you very much for your call. Kathy, what about that? He wants to be composted. He's a gardener.
Yeah, there is not anything in the law that I'm aware of that would allow for that to happen.
Oh, really? I mean, I guess the ashes would be the closest it would come.
Yes.
Okay.
And that happens, where people bring cremated remains back to their property, and, you know, maybe grandma's put in her flower garden and things like that, but not the entire body.
Let's go to Matt in Lancaster. Matt, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a pastor here in Northwest Lancaster County at a very historic church with a very old cemetery, dates going back to the 1730s. And as much as we have had lots of burials in that time, this is the first time I'm learning about the green burial. So obviously my question's in regard to that. As somebody would come to us with that kind of request, is it, obviously there's church policies that come into play. However, is it the same type of deal where we as a church, would we have to go to the township to see what their regulations are, or are we free to make our own decisions?
Angie, you've become our green burial expert during this program. We've designated you as that.
Thank you. Thank you for that title. Again, I would do my due diligence and my research to find out if you can qualify for green burial at your church cemetery. And after the show, if you want to reach out to me, I can assist you in any way to help you find those answers.
Matt, is it something that you would consider?
It's possible. Uh-huh. We've never had that request yet, but I like to be prepared.
Well, I have a feeling after today's program, we may have a few requests for it. So, hey, thank you very much for your call. Let's see. Let's take a call from Craig II, Cart Doris in Lancaster. We're getting a lot of calls, so I'm trying to keep them in order here. Doris in Lancaster, you're on the air.
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your question?
I have a question. My question is about legal protection when it comes to prepaid arrangements. My parents made prepaid arrangements. This was about 20 years ago. When my father died, it was contracted to a local funeral director who did a marvelous job and was very caring with my mother. When my mother died, the arrangements were contracted to some outfit in Philadelphia whom I never heard from until somebody from the funeral parlor brought my mother's ashes to me and handed them over in a one-gallon Ziploc bag in a parking lot. When my aunt died, her children discovered that the company she had made arrangements with had gone out of business, had gone bankrupt, and all the money she had spent was wasted. What legal protections do you have in cases of prepaid arrangements?
Bruce Pothmore, I'm going to put that one to you.
It would be with the initial contract that was set up, and it's why it's extremely important to set up the contract with a reputable funeral home, and B, the contract has to, the consumer always wants to make sure that they know where the money is being placed and make sure the money is transportable and make sure that they know what's going to happen to that money in the event that the funeral home would close their doors or would be purchased by another funeral home. As far as retribution in that case, of course, they would have the State Board of Funeral Directors. They'd have the governor's office. Kathy, please help me. I'm having a...
Well, it's a criminal offense as well.
Exactly.
So it's outright theft. And presuming that there would be a criminal charge, there would be restitution ordered. And hopefully there would be enough assets of the funeral home to repay that money. Unfortunately, we've had those scenarios a number of times in Pennsylvania, and it's horrible for everyone involved, including the funeral profession.
Well, yeah, I mean, it isn't like walking into a retail store, buying something, not satisfied with it, and returning it. I mean, what's done is done in your industry, and I feel for the family that the woman who just called in, that, you know, going into a parking lot, handed the Ziploc bag, and that's it. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And I see you shaking your heads. And yeah, that's what a lot of us are doing, probably swearing under our breaths. But unfortunately, have to. When you say reputable funeral home, how do you know who is a reputable funeral director, Kathy?
Well, you can certainly go on to the State Board's website and look to see if the funeral home has, or the funeral director specifically, has any disciplinary actions against them. Bruce's comment about when you prearrange and you hand money over to the licensed funeral director, every consumer should be given a copy of where that money has gone and be getting statements on a regular basis as to the balance in those accounts, so that if, God forbid, you know, the funeral home goes out of business or whatever, at least you know that your $10,000 is still in the local bank or the insurance company or wherever it is that it was placed.
It's very important who the consumer is writing the check to. The consumer should not be writing the check to that funeral home. The consumer should be writing the check to the bank if it's being set up in a trust. If it's being underwritten with an insurance fund, it should be writing the person should be writing the check to the insurance company.
Absolutely. And if you are writing that check to the funeral home has an obligation to send your money off of their check to a reputable insurance provider or bank. And you should be able to request a sit down with your local funeral home provider to find out at any given time where your money is and what the value is.
We only have about 2 minutes left, and I've had a couple follow-up calls and emails from people who want to be composted. So, Kathy, you had answered that question before about it not being legal here in Pennsylvania, but Jen in Mount Joy wants to know, do I have to go to another state? So I assume, she said, do I have to be shipped to Washington?
Yes.
So I assume that means that in Washington it is legal. What does, is there any way, I mean, is this something that the law has to be changed if people want to be composted?
Yes.
Okay, so probably would be an unusual request for a legislator, but dear state representative, I want a law that says that my body can be composted after I die. That's the start of the letter?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Let's see, what else do we have here in the last few minutes of the program? I mean, we've learned a lot here today, and I don't think we're going to get to that one, Greg, with the just a minute or so left. I want to thank all three of you for being with us today. You know, and Angie, you've mentioned virtual a few times, and that some things will stay the same. Some of the changes that have been made during COVID will stay the same. Are funerals open to family and friends in person now? Are there times where it's just all virtual combination? Just what? I have less than a minute.
Yes. Right now, many of the funeral homes are doing services in person, and they are streaming or Zooming those services for folks who are out of state or who are still a little apprehensive about COVID. I don't think that's going to change. I think that's here to stay, and more people are requesting it.
So you do think that, you know, for people who are out of state, maybe can't travel, that they can tune in, so to speak, and see. Okay. Hey, I want to thank all three of you for being with us today. A lot of questions. Kathleen Ryan, Pennsylvania Funeral Directors Association. Angela Eulen with Hooper Memorial Home in Harrisburg. Bruce Parthamore with Parthamore Funeral Home in New Cumberland. Thank all of you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.